أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما بقية الله في الأراضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. إلهي، إن كنت غير مستأهل لرحمتك فأنت أهل أن تجود علي بفضل سعتك. إلهي، كأني بنفسي واقفة بين يديك، وقد أظلها حسن توكلي عليك، فقلت ما كنت أهله وتغمدتني بعفوك. In this phrase of مناجات الشعبانية we say, my Lord, if I am not fit for gaining your mercy, you are certainly fit to be generous to me by words of your magnanimity. My Lord, I see as if I am standing before you, protected by my trust in you. You said, what befitted you and covered me with your forgiveness. Here we point to two things. First of all, we know Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reward us, will give us paradise, will send us to the paradise. And there are a lot of reward which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us. The question here is that when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reward us, do we have right to get the reward from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or not? Does Allah must and have give us reward and send us to the paradise or not? For instance, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we know inshallah He will enter us to the paradise. But because my salat, because my fasting, because my hajj, because my knowledge, and due to my activity, due to my goodness, and so, are not. By His mercy, Allah will give us. This is one issue which has been raised in theology. And ulama and scholars talk about this issue. Some of them say that whatever Allah will give us because of our action. Depend on our action. Because I'm offering salat, Allah will reward me. I will do my fasting, Allah will reward me. I will give my zakat, my khums, and whatever I will do in my life, so Allah will reward me. And this is the effect of His justice. Because He's just. So there should be difference between those people who are doing good in their life and who are not doing good in their life. So the justice deals to give reward to those people who are doing good, to the believers of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to the mu'mineen. So, the paradise depends on our action. We have poem in Persian language, We say بهشت را به بها می دهند نه به بهانه. Maybe you heard this sentence from شهید بهشتی a lot of time. You say if Allah تبارک و تعالی give you paradise, He gives you the paradise because of your value, because your deed, because your action, because of your salat. So, or not, Allah will not give us because of my salat, because of my fast, because whatever I will do. No. The paradise and the reward is not depend on my action. Some scholars say no. Whatever Allah will give us is not give us because of my action. No. Because of His mercy. The first group say no. Due to His justice, He must give us paradise, or He must reward us because my action. And because He has to fulfill His promise. So He will give me. He promised us, if you do such, He will give you paradise, isn't it? إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ مِنْ بِغَيْرِ حَسَابٍ. Those people who pay patience, Allah will give them and He will reward them. And those people who are committing salat, and those people who go to jihad, struggle, holy war, Allah will reward them. So look at the verses of Holy Quran. And they prove their concept and their idea by a lot of verses of Holy Quran. So if we want to know the right concept of this issue, actually it has been discussed a lot in theology. I think we should raise the issue like that. We say, do we have right to get anything or not? Is it the same? Because of my right, Allah will give me or not? I don't have any right. Okay. If we analyze this issue, we will find out whatever Allah will give me, He will give me because of my right or not. So, when do I have right to get something or to gain something? If I do something for you which is not belong to you, so I have right to gain and to get something from you. But if I offer something to you which is from you, I don't have any right to get anything from you. Now, you will call somebody to work for you. He will use your means. He will use your tools. And he will work for you. In the evening time, he will ask you, please give me my salary. Why? You have used my means, you have used my tools. So what should I give to you something? Why? He will tell you, because yes, whatever I use, all these facilities are belong to you, but my life, my power, my time is mine. Are not belong to you. So I have right to ask you to give me my right. Otherwise, if you will not give to me, I will go to court. And I will send you to court. Isn't it? Because I have right. My time is for me. You don't have power over my time. You don't have power over my life. Whatever I do, yes, I use your means. I use your tools. So I have right to ask you to give me something. Now because of that we have in Rivaya and we have in Ahadith, even in Holy Quran, that you don't have any right to ask your wife to do something for you, to cook for you, to wash your dress, to iron your dress. Even you don't have right to ask him to take care of your children. You don't have this right. Because this is her time, this is her ability, this is her power, this is her so and so and so. You don't have any right to that one. That one belongs to him. Isn't it? This is the first one. And also, there is a question, an issue in jurisprudence. In fact, can I sell my hand to somebody? Or not? Now, please, I have two eyes. One is enough for me, and I need money. So, there is a rich man who will ask me, give me one of your eyes. Can I give him to him or not? Do I have right or not? Maybe you can say yes. Because this is my part. I have right to sell it. But all ulama and scholars are saying that you don't have right to sell any part of yourself. But except those parts which you don't use it, like your hair when you catch it. But to sell your heart, you don't have right. Even if you sell it and you take any amount because of it, this is haram. Why? Because you don't have power and you don't have any type of right over your parts. This belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. All parts belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You don't have right to sell it. So we issue and we raise the question like that. Whatever we get it, we'll get it because our right. I have right, so I can get reward from you. Because I use my facilities. My facility is my time, my life, whatever I have it. Isn't it? So I use it. I use my mind, so I write for you. I use my mind, so I advise you. I consult you. Now, we are doing salat. We are offering salat, establishing salat, giving pay zakat. We are going to Hajj. Do I have right to get anything because of my action? No. Why? Because whatever I do, I'm doing it because I have time, because I have power, because I have money, because I have mind, because I have parts, I have body. Who gave me this? Who offered to me? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I don't have any right to get anything from him. Even if I do such thing, he has more right over me to take something more from you. Look at the Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah. Al-Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, he says, oh my God, if I praise on you, to you, I say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you have one right more upon me. Because you gave me this tawfiq, ability to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Otherwise, there are a lot of people who didn't have this tawfiq to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So, I want to thank you. When I thank you, I must thank you once again, once more. Because you gave me this tawfiq to thank you. So, I should thank you again. So, I will thank you. So, I have to thank you one more also, up to day of judgment, that you ask me, okay, stop, you go some, do other your action, your activity. Like the, when we say and mention the name of the Prophet, we must say salawat to him, isn't it? When we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In the end, we say Muhammad, so we should say salawat. Also we say Muhammad, also we should mention Salawat. Also we should recite Muhammad. We should recite Salawat we mention Muhammad, we should recite salawat up to day of judgment. What we should do? Although we have a lot of ahadith and tradition, and even in Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala, in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. This is amr, command. You must do. It's obligatory for you. You must do. What is the solution of it? Up to day of judgment, end of our life, you should sit down, because we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Okay, I mentioned Muhammad, so I should recite another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. I should recite another salawat. Because in the end of my sentence is the name of the Prophet, isn't it? But Allah solved this problem. He created a lot of angels. And they are sitting down. Instead of you, they are reciting salawat. And they ask you, please, they give you permission to go to do your work. Now, we don't have any right on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to get anything. Because if I offer my salat, if I pay my zakat, if I think, whatever I will do is because of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Due to His mercy, He gave me hand, ear, eyes, mouth, heart, head. He gave me all of this. So if I do anything, so I don't have any right to collect from him. Because of what? When the mason or labor or your staff works for you, because he used his time, he used his ability, he used his mind. But concerning Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I will use his head, because this belongs to him. Ya ayyuhal nas, antum al-fukhara ila Allah. So we don't have any right to ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to give me paradise, to give me so and so and so. Because of that here, Al-Imam Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi says, Ilahi, oh my God, I'm not fit and I don't have right to ask you to give me anything. Even I don't have right to ask you forgiveness. But I'm sure you will give me by your mercy. You will give me by your blessing. And Ilahi, in kuntu ghayra musta'hida, if I'm not worthy, I'm not fit, lirahmatik, to get your rahmah, your mercy, fa anta ahlun an tajud alayya bifadli sa'atik, that you are worthy, and you are fit, to give me, to offer to me your mercy, your blessing, because of you, it's not because of me. I have done nothing. What I have done? My prayer? No. I don't want to say, no, our prayer is not correct, or what we do is not good. No. Because whatever we will do it by the ability, power, which bestowed it to us by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we don't have any right to ask anything from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In conclusion, we can say, whatever Allah will give us, He will give us by His rahmah, His fadl. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give to whomsoever he wishes. But those people who say Behesh Rab Bebaham Midahan is not correct. No. Allah will not give us paradise due to our action, due to our value, No. But they will give us by bahane. I don't know bahane, I can translate it. No. Excuse. Maybe we can say it. Do you know, bahane means, for instance, you want to pay to your son something, but you don't want to pay to him free. You will ask him, okay, polish my shoes. Although just now you polish it. Because you don't want to give him something free, but you want to him to do something and after that you will give him. This is called bahane. I don't know. Oh, for instance, I want to beat somebody without any reason. I will come to him. Oh, why you insulted me? When? I didn't tell you anything. Never I saw you. Just now I saw you. No, you insulted me. I asked. This is bahane. Only because of nothing, I wanted to beat him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of nothing, wants to give up paradise. Otherwise, he doesn't want salat, psalm, and so and so. But because of nothing, he wants to send us to paradise. He doesn't want us to offer salat or to offer hajj, to go to hajj. No. He wants because of, he wants, otherwise he has it. At the moment he has it. Like when you ask your child to polish your shoes. Do you want your shoes to be polished? Is it polished correct or not? Do you want your shoes to be polished? No. Only you want to give to your child, your son, something. And a lot of ulama, I read in their history and I heard from some of them, they were saying, we repent to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from our ibadah, from our worshipping. Because up to now, we depend on our worship and we say, we have offered salat, psalm, hajj, zakat, khum, so and so. But now we realize there are nothing. We can't depend on it. But we must depend on Fadlullah. Mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Okay. This is one issue here. I'm not fit to get anything. But I'm sure you will give me. But I know you will give me. But by what you will give me? Should be something, some means. So through it you will give me. That thing is tawakkul. What is tawakkul? You know, the tawakkul, one of high level and stages of urafa in their suluk, in their journey to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whenever I want to do something, and we don't have experience on it, and I don't have enough knowledge to do it, I don't have power to do it, I'm not expert on that field, what I will do? In Arabic term, they say I will get wakil. In English term, they say I will get lawyer. Wakil is from tawakkul, the same. They have the same root. Wakil is from tawakkul. In English we say lawyer. What he will do? Because I don't have experience in this field. I have problem with my neighbor. I have problem with my partner, I have problem with so and so. So, I want to do something, but I don't know how I should do it. I don't have experience. I'm not expert. This is what I say. I don't have enough knowledge concerning this issue. I don't have power. What I will do? I will ask somebody instead of me to do this for me. Isn't it? So, this man, his name in Arabic is Waqi. It's Waqi. He will do instead of you. He will get your right from your enemy. He will give you your right. He will defend you. He will protect you from going to prison. He will give you your money. He will protect you from a lot of things. Now we will turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We will say to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, oh my God, in my life, I did a lot of investigation. I realized a lot of things. One, I don't have any experience in my life. I don't have experience in the day of judgment, in the hereafter, in the Qiyamah. This is one. Second, I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know what I should do. I don't know. Because I didn't read the book of law. So I don't have knowledge. This is second. Thirdly, I don't have power. This is also. I don't have power to do. I'm very weak. So what I will do? And when I did my investigation, I wanted to get lawyer among all the people, I realized that all of them are the same like me. They don't have knowledge. They don't have experience. They don't have power. But I can't trust on them. Because sometimes I will get them as my lawyer. I will pay a lot of money to them. In the end, I will find out he turned over me. So, what I will do? I will offer, I will give all my efforts to you. Oh my God, be my wakil, be my lawyer in my life here and in my life here in the hereafter, in the Qiyamah. Why? Because one, you have a power. Whatever you want to do, you can do. This is one. Second, you have knowledge. How you should deal with the issue, my issue. Thirdly, you will not return me and go from back. You will not do khiyana to me. Treason, huh? Khiyana is treason. You will not return to me. Because of that, I will offer my issue and to you. All the time, we must get the means and causes for our life. But I realized through my investigation that the cause of causes is you. You are cause of causes. You are who bestowed all the power to everybody. So why I should go to anybody else? And you will do whatever you want to do. There is no barrier for you. Okay. Let's to prove what we said from Holy Quran. We bring argument from Holy Quran. First of all, whatever you want to do, you will do it. You have power. كذلك الله يفعل ما يشاء. الله يفعل ما يشاء. He will do whatever he wishes. ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. In some verses we say, oh my God, you will do whatever you desire and you want to do. In Surah Al Imran, verse 40. First, you will do whatever you want to do. But my lawyer, if I choose my lawyer among the people, sometimes they want to help me, but they can't do. They can't do. But you, يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He will do whatever he wants to do. I remember, maybe more than 10 years, 30 years, 13 years ago, I had a big problem in my life. I didn't know how I should solve it. I wanted to do something, but I couldn't. I went toward the haram of Ma'shuma in Qom. They wanted to close the door, because it was actually midnight. In ordinary night, they closed the door. I asked him, please give me permission. Only 2 minutes, I will go and I'll come back, because I have come from far. Let me go. Okay, go inside. I went to the shrine of Ma'shuma. I started to cry. Oh, where I should go? I don't have anybody else. Please help me. I want to do so. And I came out, because they sacked me from Haram. They wanted to close the door. When I came out, I saw a man. I knew him. But up to that night, I was thinking he's a madman. Because his action, his character, looks like madman. I went to him, and I said salam to him. After that, I told him, please, advise me. Actually, I wanted to joke with him. But I was thinking he's a madman. He told me, you can do whatever you want to do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Go! He cited this verse for me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Certainly, surely, Allah will do whatever He wishes, whatever He wants to do. You can do whatever you want to do, go. I came, I realized, oh. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, he recited this verse also, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You can't have something or wish something except what Allah wishes. When I left him and I came out from Haram, suddenly I shocked what he told me. What's happened to me? This is my answer. Which more than maybe 1 month, I wondered about this issue and he answered me because of Ma'shuma salamullah alayha. He recited only these words for me. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And I left that issue. So later on, I met him again. I asked him, where are you? I realized that he's not madman. I'm madman. I was madman. Because I was thinking he's a madman. I realized he's one of awliya. One of pious. And he started to mention a lot of things for us. However, Allah has power to do everything, so why we not get him as our lawyer? وَمَنْ, this is first, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Also, he will يَحْكُمُ, he will command concerning the making law. Because the lawyer, if you will take lawyer for yourself, whatever he will do, according to the law, he wants to help you. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, no. He will make law and as he wishes. As he wishes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. And also, we know some of our lawyers, they can do, there are some barriers for them. But there is no barrier for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. in Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 41, Surah Al-Ra'd. Wallahu yahkum la mu'aqqiba li hukmih. He will judge. There is no barrier for his hukm and for his judge. And all means go towards him. So there are a lot of وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ in also Surah Ibrahim, verse 12. In Surah Ibrahim, verse 12. وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. There are a lot of evidence, there are a lot of verses of Holy Quran which push us to put our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When I realize that He can do it, whatever He wants to do. Because He has power. He's powerful. He knows everything. There is no barrier for Him. Why I should not put my trust in Him? And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, if you put your trust in Him, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. In Surah Sad, I don't know in which surah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. I think in Surah Talaq. Surah Talaq, verse 3. Yes. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Surah Talaq, verse 3. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whosoever put his trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He will suffice him. He will suffice him. Because due to what we said. So there are a lot of verses about tawakkul and putting our trust in Allah, on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That we must know something. Putting our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala doesn't mean that we must sit down. We should not work. There is an issue in theology, in ilm al-akhlaq, moral and ethics, which ulama discuss it. And they said, when we say we must put our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in which field we should put our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Like dua, when we should do dua? When we can't do anything, so we should do dua? This means, first of all, we should use facilities, we should use means and tools. After that, when we don't have any tools and facilities, I should do my dua. Now, in the beginning, I should go to doctor. I should do, if I can't do anything here, I should go to another country. I should change my doctor. I should go to another place. When I don't have anything, I should do dua. And the tawakkul also, this o tawassul. Later on, I should do my tawassul. Or not. Tawakkul also is the same. When I can't do, and there are a lot of barriers, I did all my effort, I put all my effort in the field to do whatever I wanted to do, and I couldn't reach to my target, I couldn't reach to my aim, so now I should put my trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Or not, it's not like that. But from beginning, I should start, I should begin my work and commence by my work, and at the same time I should do tawassul, I should do dua, and I should put my trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They say majority of people are making mistake when they put their tawassul, their trust in Allah tawakkul, and their dua in the end of their action, in the end of their process. They will go wherever they want to go, but when they can't reach to their target and they can't get their aim, so now they raise their hands toward Allah Ta'ala. Oh my God. No. From beginning, we must put our tawassul, our trust on Allah Ta'ala. Like, for example, you see the flower. The water of flower, which in Persian we say gulab, in or perfume, on it, gulab, how is it? Water of flower? Okay. So, please, the water inside of the flower, all the flower is full of water. It's not in the end or so and so. Our life also the same. From beginning up to end should be full of trust, should be full of dua, full of tawassul, and by tawassul, by whatever we want to do, we must do our action. There is another thing. Here, actually, we benefit from these people, and we say, we should be self-sufficient. We should rely on ourselves. We should depend on ourselves. Dependently, we should start our action. But this concept exactly is opposite of concept of Allah, Quran. It's contrary to Quran, the Quranic view. Why? Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You are nothing. How you want to do something independently? How you want to be self-sufficient? How you want to trust on yourself? Because you are nothing. You can't do anything. So, from beginning, you must use your facilities. You must work. Whatever you want to do. And after that, and at the same time, you must do your tawassul. A man came to Musa alayhi salam, and he said, he had headache. Said, I will not use tablet for a sense. Said, why? Because I have tawakkul. Musa alayhi salam told him, oh, poor man. Are you thinking when you use tablet and you will get your healthy, tablet will give you your health? No. Tablet also by permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will recover you. Don't think that you will get whatever you will get it through this means. This is shirk. One, meanwhile, we use drug, medicine and tablet or whatever we use it, and we must know Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala put something to it and we must use it. Yes. There are some people. They don't need any means, they don't need any tools. Let me tell you, there are some hadiths. Al-A'imma alayhi wa sallam, they are cursing those people who put their heaviness on the shoulder of other people. They are going to Hajj without having any facilities, without having, in Arabic language, they say zad, to have facilities with you, money, or whatever you need it. Without that thing, you go to Hajj, you go to anywhere, and you think the people are helping you and they are supporting you, and because you say, because of tawakkul, I want to go to Hajj without having anything. No, this is not correct. But there are some people, they have broken down everything. They don't need to use any means or tools. Once Qanbar, the servant of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was full of love of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He loved Imam Ali alayhi salam a lot. When in the midnight Imam Ali alayhi salam left, once Imam Ali alayhi salam left his house and he wanted to go to help the poor people, He was following Imam Ali alayhi salam by his soul. And Imam Ali alayhi salam realized that somebody is following him. He asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Qanbar, your servant." Imam alayhi salam asked him, "What do you do here?" He said, "I'm coming to prevent you from your enemy." Imam asked him, "Which you want to protect me from? Which enemy? The enemy from the heaven or from the earth?" He said, "No, the enemy from the earth." Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "فَقَالَ لَا بَلْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ, the people of the earth, this enemy." فَقَالَ إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لِشَيْءٍ, the people of the earth, they can't do anything to me. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَرْجِ, they can't do anything to me, but without the permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, go back, I don't need you, go. But this is Imam Ali alayhi salam, you can do, but you don't do it. If you want to go out, you must take whatever you need. I had a friend, now also is still there. Every year, I saw a God. Every year, from Qom, he goes to Mashhad by his family without having even $1. Ask him, "What do you do?" He said, "I will go by my family, with my family, to Mashhad. And when I will alight from Qaf, I will go near to Haram of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And I will say, 'Assalamu alaykum, Ya Abu al-Hasan, Ya Ali ibn Musa Rida, your guests have come.' Where do you want to give to them? They are my children. House and so and so." Said, "Sometime, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I will stand. Sometimes less than 5 minutes, somebody will come to me, 'Oh, Hajaha, oh, Shaykh, do you want any house?' 'Yes, I need house.' And he will take me to house, hotel, guest house. I don't know. They will take me. And with very good hospitality, they will feed me. Sometime, he told me, sometime they will buy for me gift, which is mustahab. They will give me gift and I will come back without spending any money. Yes, but I can do. If I don't have enough money, I will not go never to any place." So please, one of our asatid and our ulama was telling us, till I finished, he was telling us, unfortunately, we don't put our trust on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as we put our trust on £2. If my orphan is not with me, and if I don't have money in my pocket, I will not come out from my house. So how I should put my trust in my money, but I will not put my trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala like my money? Isn't it? I saw, my God, you are like that. I don't know why, what's happened to us. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Sorry, I missed last part. You said you put our trust in two things. One is money and the other is?
Our money?
And second?
I don't know. Sorry.
Okay, if I might ask a question. It's very easy to say, "Let's put our trust in Allah." But we have to assume Allah would then take care of our affairs. What if Allah decides not to take care of our affairs because we're not at that capacity? We don't deserve that.
Actually, we must take of our affairs, and at the same time, we should have and we should put our trust in Allah Ta'ala. We should combine between these two. But this is difficult, exactly. How we can combine? Unfortunately, some people, they take care of their affairs without having trust. Some people, they want to have to put their trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they don't take care of their affairs. Both are not correct. In the same time, we should not distinguish between these two. We should combine it, each to other. And we should, by with the trust on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we should take care to our affairs. Exactly. By when, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered us, whenever you want to start your action, your work, you must say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. By the name of Allah you will do, and you have to do it. Trust also is the same. We should put our trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and we have to take and go toward our work, and we must be very active. And I forgot to tell you, tomorrow, I think, did you see, is the anniversary of the martyrdom of Fatima Salamullah Alayha. Because there are two hadith. If you have calendar, this is sad. According to Rewaya, Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha martyred after the death of her father 75 days, which in Arabic is called Khamsa wa Sab'in, or 75 or 95. That one comes over Tis'in. Actually, when you write Tis'in and Sab'in, if you don't have you don't put dot on it, it's the same. Because of that, it's confusing. After the death of the Prophet, Lady Fatima was martyred. 75 days after the death of the Prophet, or 95 days. Some ulama say 75. Some our ulama say 95. Maybe you had this dream. One of our ulama tried a lot of time, and he was sad. Why? We don't know where is the grave of Fatima, salamullahi alayha. How we don't know exactly the death date of her martyr. And he started to do his research. Once he saw the Prophet of Fatima, I forgot, and they told him, why you don't allow people to do azab for us two times? Let them do two times. 75 days or 95 days after the death of Prophet. 75 days after the death of Prophet is 13 of Jamad al-Awwal, which is tomorrow. And 95 days after the death of the Prophet is 3rd of Jamad al-Thani. 3rd of Jamad al-Thani, which is next month. So if tomorrow is 13 of Jamad al-Awwal, first Jamadi, actually is anniversary of martyrdom of Fatima salamullah alayha.